welcome back, friends. Sarah and I, of course, are continuing on with homeschooling. And so she gave you a little preamble, a little bit of a flavor of what she has done so elegantly and eloquently through the years. I homeschooled our youngest. I have, you know, we have seven. I homeschooled her from kindergarten, whatever, fourth grade, fifth grade. I mean, four-year-olds, five-year-olds, up through seventh grade. And in this eighth grade, I gave her an option of what she wanted to do. She wanted to study at a girls' school in Virginia, a private girls' school in Virginia. So 13 years of age, she went 1,500 miles away and studied very, very successfully there for a year. She came back and we felt morally and mature way, again, prepared to go into a very liberal, academically sound, but an extremely liberal school, where she was going to need to be able to know herself, know the values we've raised, and then argue for them. And it turns out that she was able to do that. But when you enter into something new, so perhaps homeschooling, you're entering into that new, what one has is a whole lot of hope. Yeah. And perhaps not as much experience as you would like to be able to make a firm decision. Oh, yeah, right. It's so that's sort of where we were with her. I homeschooled two sons for 2 years. That was thrust on us, given things that were going on at the school that they were attending, a prestigious boys school. And I have to say those sorts of things. It's not to be boastful, but it's to, sometimes people wonder, can homeschooling compete with those places that cost a lot of money with a long pedigree? And the answer in my experience has been yes, yes, and yes. The first day I had the twins home, it was just that first couple of days, we were doing spelling, seventh grade spelling. Now, this is after a few years of doing spelling with Felicia. When we do, we look at etymology, we look at where it fits with phonetically, we use it in sentences. Wise Guide is one of the programs we use with spelling. And so that's just what it came out with the twins. And you would have thought with the amount of money we had spent for them, it would have been fine. No, they start crying. They say, Mom, this isn't how we do spelling. I said, what do you mean this isn't how you do spelling? How else do you do spelling? Oh, no, we go to the library and we put on headphones. And then we take these SRA tests, which I found out is very prone to cheating. I'm not saying that they were. I'm just saying that the process is. And they didn't know where to start. They had no clue how to decipher words to spell.
Right. I mean, it's just rote memorization, essentially.
It was a tour de force. Right. And at some point, it breaks.
Great if you were a visual learner. Perfect if you're a visual learner, you know. But if you're not a visual learner, that could lead to a lot of people being left behind.
That's correct. And if you knew what your IE and your EI exceptions, and there's just a few of them, and you keep a little journal, oh, here's another one, let's go put that down. Right. You know, we know our rules for the language. There really are rules. It's just not magic. So that is a bit of mine. To my youngest daughter, she's now 18, and she's done extremely well. All indications are that she will receive an appointment to a military academy if things go well this next year. For her, I had wanted to, because I had encountered homeschooling when Sarah and I lived in the same area, and it always looked so attractive. But there were these other schools surrounding us that the kids had become attached to, that I couldn't get them convinced enough to try something different. So it took us moving away from that environment, plopping in Texas, and you know, I'm a bit lots wife, crying because I had stomach fever so bad.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, what's happening? And Ted feeling, my husband, so pitiful that you can homeschool her. You can homeschool. And it's great. And I've homeschooled her. And then Sarah's right. It spreads out. It's not just your own children. My grandchildren have helped them. And, you know, conferences, science fair judges of other homeschooled children, been of service to them. It's wonderful. And Sarah said something last time, and if we say it every episode, that is okay. This does not have to be a forever moment. So let's say you really do like your schools that you were in. You like the families, or you know you like whatever it is you like. Just like I like the schools my kids were in. I like the families. I like the social. Well, fine. Take this year. Do the homeschooling, look for the graces and the opportunities of the Lord, and say, okay, I want to transition to a new place. With the twins, I knew I was only going to keep them for 2 years. So my question in my mind was, I wanted them to move into the boys' Catholic high school with minimal academic hurdles. Right. So I go and meet with the math teacher. I meet with the English teacher. I look at what their metrics are for the incoming freshmen. Boom. That's what I do for the next 2 years. I've got my Telos goals.
And your goals, yeah.
Whatever. So I knew even going in with some of them that I wasn't going to homeschool through high school. For Felicia, I was not sure. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know when I started. So I always watched homeschooling through high school because I always knew that was my option. If I didn't like what was going on in the high schools, that was always, and I mean a good option, just not like, okay, well, I guess it's better than that. No, we want solid options here. And that we didn't choose to homeschool, which for high school, eighth grade and high school, is perfectly fine because she had been formed. She had been formed in critical thinking during her her years of maturity. And that my friends, is worth the price of admission. You get a child.
That goes to the line from Proverbs. You know, you raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. The church will speak very concretely, well, she used to, about those latency years, right? The period before they become, you know, 13 or 14, when they do become more awakened to worldly realities, right? Up until that point, you know, they're still living in, you know, like a quasi-reality of childhood, you know, learning what is real, learning what's not real, learning that you can believe in something that is invisible. And you know, I mean, just different things that they are learning at that point that they're all trying to put together. And I do think that those early years are very, very critical. Those relationships that are being built, an opportunity to instill values that are important, to talk about the opposites, and to allow those types of thoughts to be explored in safe environments where, you know, you can concretely show both sides of an argument, because we have the wherewithal to be able to determine, based upon our value and based upon our faith, what is right and what is wrong. And so there isn't really a big issue in engaging in conversations about other things with our children, because we can always, it's the authentic Socratic method, right? The Socratic method that asks questions not for the sake of questioning, but the authentic asking of questions to lead to truth. And I think that can take place very soundly and concretely within a home.
It absolutely can. It absolutely can. And then that firmness of conviction can in so many ways safeguard them or propel them when they go into environments where those values are challenged. And in this day and age, they're increasingly challenged. And I think that just has to be. So how do we equip ourselves and our children to face it? And I think homeschooling has a very unique place in that opportunity, arsenal, right. Weaponry. Mm-hmm. Pick the analogy you like.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think it's also very interesting is that, you know, human beings have such notoriously short memories. And so what we look upon as educating a child, right, is really kind of a creation of modernism, right, of modernity. So this envisioning that we have that it is normal, quote unquote, that a normal school means that the child leaves their home at 5 years old and is underneath the tutelage of another person or persons outside of the home, outside of the bonds of the family, from 8 o'clock in the morning until 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We've begin to see this as the normal, and also in addition to that, that all of the kids who are in that child's immediate peer circle are people who are born basically within the same calendar year, you know, 5 months older or 5 months younger. For whatever reason, we have now called that the normal route of education. And I would actually argue that when one takes a very long historical view of education, it's never been done like that, ever, in the history of the human person. The family has always been the primary area for education. And certainly there were times when children were put underneath the tutelage of other wise men. But in general, that would never have started until the child was ready for the grammar period, which would have been when they were at least 9, 10, or 11 years old. That's when they would have begun having some type of tutelage. But up until that point, and one doesn't assume that their education began there. One assumes that that is where the finishing of the education was going to be coming. And that would not have been in the rare families, right? Like the Aristotles and the Aquinas's and different people like that who had a capacity to be able to not turn directly from the limited education that they would have had to a career or to a trade, right? So to be educated in the modern sense is, I think we have to make sure that we're really taking a good hard look at what does it mean to be educated and why are we so quick to assume that something that is of relatively new creation is the only and the right way to educate our kids.
That's just right. All right, my friends, we will pick up at the next episode. To the next time, Fides et Ratio.